First of all, I just want to say a happy Father's Day to all the fathers that are here this morning, and also to some of the fathers, I think, that are here on the table that maybe are not with us anymore. We want to remember them as well. And also, a shout out to all the mothers and grandmothers who have to be fathers. That happens an awful lot in our world, too, right? My partner, my marriage partner, Lonnie, he sends a Father's Day card to his mother every year. And he does that because he tells me that she was the only father he had in his life as he grew up. And he recognizes that, and he appreciates her for what she had to do, both being a mother and a father. So we want to remember moms, too, who have to play that role. So I was looking for a message this morning that had to do with Father's Day, and I kind of went to the lectionary, which I usually follow the lectionary pretty much when I preach a message. And as it so happens, one of the passages in the lectionary was this passage from Genesis. And what better father to talk about than Abraham, right? Do we all know the story of Abraham? Abraham, as we learn from part of the passage this morning, was already kind of an old man. He was already in his 70s. And he had never had any children. Sarah was not able to have children. And so he had never had the privilege or the honor of being a father. And he really wanted that, not just to have a son, but to have an heir, someone who could. And, you know, that day it was the sons that the family traditions and the family wealth was passed down to. And the legacy would be passed down to that heir. And Abraham wanted that more than anything. So as part of the story, you know, Abraham had been very close with God prior to this. And God had brought Abraham to this place that God wanted him to come to. And Abraham and Sarah packed up and moved to this area that was actually in Canaan. And they, you know, Abraham had a number of occasions where he had spoken with God, and he had been faithful to doing whatever God had asked him to do. And he actually became a very wealthy man as a result of following God's lead, because he became so well respected in the area that people just really appreciated him and really, you know, surrounded themselves with him, and that rulers gave him herds and other forms of wealth. So he had a lot of material possessions and would have been considered wealthy for a man at his time. So when God wanted to reward Abraham, he said, I have something I want to give you. But Abraham thought to himself, you know, I really don't need any money. I don't need any land. I don't need to be powerful. I'm already pretty powerful, actually, in this area because of my reputation. You know, what I really want is a son. What I really want is an heir. And so God had promised Abraham that he would, in fact, have a son. In fact, the story goes on, and this is prior to our text today, that God took Abraham outside and had him look up to the heavens. And he said, look at the stars in the sky, if you can possibly count them all. So shall be the number of your descendants. Well, you can imagine how that made Abraham feel, right? He was going to have not only a son, but he was going to have many, many descendants. So Abraham and Sarah had a long life together, and they really loved each other. One thing about Abraham I noticed in the text is he was a very smart man. Do you know why he was so smart? You know what just made me realize that when I was reading the scripture? He did what Sarah told him. He knew that for him to have peace at home and a joyous life, he had to keep Sarah happy. And that's a sign of a good man, isn't it? My dad was that way, so I kind of related to that part of this story real well. And so he listened to Sarah. And so even though God had made them this promise, and he had, of course, shared this with Sarah, they went about their way and went about doing what they were supposed to be doing. And a number of years had gone by. In fact, 10 years had passed, and Sarah still didn't have a child. Sarah still never conceived. And you can imagine that somewhere along the way, there was just those moments when I didn't think this would happen to begin with. Now I'm even more convinced, right? It isn't going to happen. After all, I'm pushing 69 years old. I'm getting up into my 70s. I mean, I'm already past childbearing. How could this possibly happen? And Abraham also I think, succumbed to that type of feeling. And I think that's very normal for us, isn't it? We might start off in our lives with something we really feel strongly about doing, and we're all gung-ho about it and confident about it, and maybe it's even something we feel God wants us to do. But somewhere along the way, life gets in the way, doesn't it? Circumstances get in the way. Things change. A job transfer, or maybe you lose a job, or somebody passes away, or maybe you lose your financial footing and lose all that you've worked for. Who knows what may have happened, but something comes along the way to challenge that dream, doesn't it? Something comes along the way to try to take it away from you, and that's kind of what was happening here with Sarah and Abraham. So as our story picks up, we have three men that show up, angels, basically. And, you know, we oftentimes may be entertaining angels without realizing it if we follow the Scripture and believe what the Scripture has to say. And I think that in this situation, it was very obvious to Abraham who these people were. You notice that he didn't really ask who they were. He immediately got up, ran out to them, bowed down to them. And Abraham was a wealthy man. He would have had hundreds of servants. And if he wanted to, which he would have done because it was their tradition to welcome the stranger and to provide food and nourishment to someone that was passing by, that wasn't so unusual. But what was so unusual in this passage was that Abraham himself ran to Sarah and told her to get the bread going, ran and picked the calf for the meal. And even though he ordered his servants to take care of the preparations, he was personally involved in getting things ready for these three people. And he recognized that the Lord God was in the presence of these three men. Abraham just knew. And that was from past experience. It wasn't something new for him. So why did these three come? What is the message that might be in this story for us today? You know, some people believe that what is written here is historically accurate and really happened, and maybe it did. But there's another group of thought, and probably some of us who think this is a pretty fantastic story, a little hard for my mind to wrap around it, and maybe it's not real. Maybe it's just a story. Maybe it's just something that was written down to pass along a message, to give us something to think about. However you may view this, however you may think of it, and just to go on the record, you know, I like the miracles in the Bible. I just grab onto those. I don't have to explain them away. They don't have to make any logical sense. They don't have to be scientifically accurate or proven. I just think that God can do anything. And I like to believe that, and you can just leave me to my joy in that regard if you don't follow along with me. But but I like that part. But anyway, so there's three things here I wanted to share with you this morning that kind of stuck out to me, and there may be things that stick out to you in the story, and you might even find a few parallels to the sea woman in this story if you think about it, because there are some connections between what she went through looking for her husband and what was happening here with Abraham and Sarah. The first thing I wanted to bring up is that I believe this message is about God's faithfulness, God being faithful to the promise, even in the face of reality, even in the face of waning faith, even at the moment in time when Abraham and Sarah didn't really probably fully believe it anymore, God was still faithful to what he had said to Abraham. And just to prove to you that Abraham and Sarah had not quite been totally faithful, 10 years in, this 20 years is when these three men show up, by the way, 10 years after the initial promise, Sarah says, well, you know, if you're going to have a son and if you're going to have all these descendants, I can't give it to you. So take my maidservant and she will bear you a son. And that's what happened. That's how Ishmael was born. That was the first child of Abraham. And you notice that nowhere in the story did God ever bring that up. Nowhere in the story did God say, Abraham, you were just an idiot. I told you you were going to have a son. I intended it to come from Sarah. And you went out, took things in your own hands, and look at the mess you made. God never said that, did he? Nowhere in this passage did God say that. God was only focused on the promise. The promise he originally made to Abraham. And it wasn't clear to Abraham, but it was a promise that Sarah would be the mother of this child, that was going to be the one that would be begin the lineage and cause all the descendants that God had promised to Abraham. So we find here these three showing up to remind Abraham of the promise, to kind of rekindle that faith. And I think we need that sometimes, even in our own lives along the way. However we may feel about our relationship with God, it ebbs and flows, does it not? There are times in life when it's just really easy to be right there and be excited about what God is doing and be wanting to be a part of that, and other times in life when it's an effort to even to pray. Sometimes it's an effort to even feel like God loves me or God has my back. We all have those times in life. And so what I like about this story about Abraham is that it's not sugar-coated. Even though Abraham was a great man of faith, and even Sarah, by the way, is listed in the Hall of Faith in the book of Hebrews by the writer of the book of Hebrews in the New Testament, Sarah's faith was recognized as a tremendously great faith despite what they did here, right? So, but these three had to come to rekindle the faith, to rekindle the fire, and to get them back into thinking what was going on. And one of the reasons that was so important was that if Sarah was going to bear a son, she was 80 and Abraham is 90, they had to have relations to have that son. And most likely at that age, there wasn't any sexual relationship going on between Abraham and Sarah at that time. They loved each other, but they weren't really ever trying to have any children. And so I really believe that's part of the story. That's part of the reason these three had to come. Part of the reason that God had to rekindle that desire for that promise so that they would be motivated to act on their faith despite how it seemed, despite how impossible it looked, despite how ridiculous it seemed, that they would take the steps to follow and to act on what God had said was going to happen. So that's the one thing that I think is about this story, is the renewal of the covenant, the reminder of the covenant. The second thing about the story is that God wanted to say to Sarah, you know, Sarah laughed in her heart, and does anyone blame her for that? I didn't find any problem with that at all. She didn't laugh out loud, by the way. In fact, she was kind of back at the door of the tent behind Abraham, so she wasn't really even in the view of the three men that Abraham was having a conversation with, but yet she just laughed in her heart, you know, because this was just so ridiculous that I'm going to have a son. And God called her out. And we can see that how uncomfortable Sarah was, because she actually denied it, didn't she? I didn't laugh. Wouldn't that be the first thing? Probably the first thing I'd say. I didn't laugh. I didn't laugh out loud. So how do you even know I laughed, right? So I didn't laugh. And God says, oh, yes, you did. And it was important for God to say that to Sarah and to bring it to her attention, because it was important for Sarah to realize that there was something wrong with her faith. There was something lacking in her belief. There was something that she needed to have to make this happen, to make this promise a reality, and it wasn't there right now. And if he had let Sarah go with that laughter in her heart and to continue to believe that this was impossible and there's just no way, it was so utterly, utterly ridiculous it would never happen, then it probably would never have happened, because Sarah would never have felt motivated to act on that faith and to actually try to have a son with Abraham. So God, this opportunity, men, to remind Sarah and to say to you and I, is anything too hard for God? Think about that in your own life. Is anything really too hard for God? You know, we oftentimes relegate God to someone way out there someplace that doesn't seem to be too active in our world. We look around and we see a lot of terrible things going on in our world right now, don't we? A lot of disheartening things. We see massacres going on. We see North Korea shooting off missiles every other day, threatening their neighbors. We see the slaughter last week at the UPS by a person who was a little angry and maybe a little mentally off, but still people being killed. You know, a year ago in Orlando, Florida, there was the slaughter of all those 49 people at the nightclub in Florida, and that was just about a year ago from today. And it's happening in England, right? On the bridge in England. It's happening in France. it's happening in countries around the world that we don't even hear about. Do you realize that a lot of the slaughters and the things that go on in the world, we're so appalled by what we know about, but there are so many more we don't probably even hear about happening in Asia and in other countries of the world that don't make our news. And so we get very disheartened about this sometimes, and it can actually cause us to wane a bit in our faith, right? Because we want justice. We want a world where there is peace and justice and people can get along, and that's the kingdom of God that's been promised to come on earth, and that's what we want to see happen. We want to see people treated fairly. We want to see people have food to eat and water to drink, and we want to see people to be able to live a happy and healthy life. And we look around, and it isn't always happening, no matter how hard we try. And sometimes that is so overwhelming that we feel like there's absolutely nothing that we can do about it. There's maybe little things we can do, but by and large, it's up to our government, or it's up to some other government, or it's up to God, or whatever it is, but it doesn't seem to be happening. It doesn't seem to be working. In fact, in some ways, it seems to be getting worse. Violence seems to be escalating. Maybe it's just because we know more about it. Discrimination seems to be escalating. Maybe because we're just hearing about it more. But it is disheartening, and sometimes it can attack our faith and cause us to believe that maybe God isn't listening. Maybe God doesn't have our back. Maybe God isn't going to ever do anything about this in our world. And the message today is that is anything too hard for God? And the rhetorical question, right, the answer was absolutely not. If God could bring a son to Sarah at 90 years old and to Abraham, who was turning 100 years old, the message of the scripture this morning is that there is nothing impossible with God. We may not understand what's going on. We may not even understand our place in all of it. But the message this morning is to not lose faith, to not stop praying, to not stop taking action in your community, in your neighborhood, in your school, at your work, whatever, to stand up for justice, to watch out for people that are being discriminated against and hurt in some way, and be that voice, be that advocate for that person, and that somehow through all of us working together that maybe we'll start seeing an improvement in what's happening in this world. This morning I started off by praising fathers and the mothers who are fathers and how important it is for fathers and mothers, the ones who are raising our children in this day and age, to be able to articulate to our children what's going on, to make them still feel safe in our world, to make them still feel like there's some reason for them to want to grow up and to want to take on leadership roles or maybe even to be the president someday, despite what we see happening in Washington and around the world. But it's the parents, you know, that really, and the grandparents and the aunts and the uncles who provide that nurturing environment that lets these young people feel like there's a chance, that there's something that is out there for them, that they're safe, that they're going to be taken care of and loved. And that brings me to the last point, and I'll end with this, is I really believe this message this morning is about love more than anything else. And in the story of the sea woman, it was certainly about love, wasn't it? She loved her husband so much, she spent days and days and days looking for him on the seashore, crying and heartbroken that she was never going to see him again. And what we see in this story, in the book of Genesis, is a story about God's love. God having Abraham's back. God loving Sarah enough to call her out and to challenge her to be more than she thought she could be, and to do something that was miraculous. And God calling to you and I this morning to say that whatever may be going on in your life, whatever mountains you may face in your life, whatever struggles you may have, whether it's an illness, whether it's financial, whether it's a job or struggles with family and children, whatever it may be that seems so impossible to you, God loves you enough to bring it to conclusion. God loves you enough to work with you, to give you the faith and the strength to get through it and to have your back and to bring you to a day when everything is looking a little better than it was yesterday. God's love is all around us right now. Faithful to the promises that God made to those in the Bible that we read about, but not just those people, but to all of us. God is faithful to all of our lives, our happiness, our well-being. God is powerful enough to achieve what we think is impossible. And hopefully that motivates us perhaps to reach just a little farther, to take a few more steps or to go around that extra corner, just in the outside chance that God really is strong enough and powerful enough to make it happen. And hopefully that's some of the message you'll hear this morning. But it is really up to us to embrace it. It's really up to us to act on it. It's really up to us to reach down inside ourselves and ask those questions and grapple with those doubts and pray and ask God, if nothing else, just open my eyes and let me see it. Let me sense it. Let me feel it. If I don't feel motivated, if I don't feel excited about my life right now, if I don't feel energetic about going forward with something I was passionate about, God, help me to regain that. Help renew that faith within me. Help renew that fire that once was in me. Or perhaps the dreams are so broken that God just, like the potter, put me back together again. Make me anew. Give me a new dream. Give me a new purpose. God loves us that much, and God will do it. You need it. Our children need it. Our world needs it. It's up to us to do it. Let's give ourselves that chance. Let's give ourselves that blessing today. And think about what Abraham and Sarah must have had to do to reach out and act in faith to realize the promise that God had made to Abraham, not only to make his descendants more numerous than the stars in the sky, but the nations of the world, the Judeo-Christian faith, the Islamic faith, all has named Abraham as either the patriarch or the beginning or one of the prophets along the way, from like the Islamic, the Muslims believe that Abraham was just one of the prophets along the way from Adam to Muhammad, and that Abraham was the powerful force in the beginning of the Islamic faith. So not only did his descendants become so numerous, but he became the father of many great world religions that we know today.